addict named Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Thinking about one of the first things my sponsor told me when I walked in. He's like, we don't blow up fucking balloons in this family. It's about life or death. And probably one of the most powerful dudes that have ever come into my life. My topic's recovery and relapse. And I do believe I'm like the jarring experience of not surrendering, not paying attention, you know, and oh, we have 20 minutes, so set the timer, Carla. I violated two times last week at our home group. Anyways, like, I do believe, man, that, like, my experience in the level of surrender that I'm at today has come through relapse. And I believe it's part of my 12th step and how I carry the message now. And I'm real nervous. So my last relapse, I come from an area that's just like overrun with three-quarter houses. I think it's a real fine line if it's a good thing or a bad thing to have so many in a confined area. You get high at one, you wait 3 days, you go to another one. There's like no level of desperation. Or you get high at one and you go stay at your girl's house or with her parents, or your parents let you back. And it just seems to be a cycle that I was trapped in for a long time. And I thought that was the new way of life that I was looking for. And I was real confused. So I was living in a house, and you know, everything was going real good on the outside. Had a job, you know, I was making good money. Like, a lot of things were going on in my life. My parents were back around, they were supporting me. And like, a lot of this outside stuff was like doing real good for me, and like, I felt like a piece of shit on the inside still. And I came home from work one day and everybody was getting high in the living room. And three guys stayed clean and they were all living in the attic. And the guy that ran the house ended up throwing them out because they didn't offer what we wanted. And the whole house was getting high. It pretty much turned into a shooting gallery. When he threw those people out of the attic, the dope man and his girl moved in on the third floor, and there was crack on the first floor, and all of us were paying rent in the middle, living on the second floor. And I beat my roommate. I had like a little bit of money, and he had a little bit of money, and both of us together didn't equal getting off sick, so I ended up beating him. And when I coughed, it was like right next to where a meeting was. So I went into the meeting to get high. And I remember like being in the bathroom. Like, I don't remember a lot of times getting high. Like, Xanax can do that to you. But like, I remember like being in the bathroom and like the fucking needle wouldn't work. And I'm trying like everything, like spit and earwax. And like everything that we do to get this thing to work. And everybody started saying a serenity prayer in the next room. And like, I was using against my will the whole time. Like, I knew there was something better. You know, I've had 60 days, 90 days, 9 months, 5 days, 6 months. You know, so I've been around and I knew that there was something better. And I knew that I didn't want to make my mom cry. You know, I knew that I didn't want to die. So I'm in there and I'm trying to get high and like it's not working. And I remember like looking in the mirror, like while the serenity prayer was going on. And I just like broke down. And we talk about this all the time when we go out to eat with, you know, our family and stuff. And like, how do you know if you've surrendered? And I've had guys ask me that question that I sponsored, like, how do I know if I surrendered? And that was an answer I couldn't figure out for a long time. And I think it's real simple, like, you know. Like, you feel it. Like, you know you're done. I ended up going into the meeting and, like, drooling and hanging off the chair. And, you know, I used maybe for a couple more days. And then I went to a different house. And, like, the lady that owned the house, she's, like, over three decades clean. And she took me in, no money, nothing. And it was, like, Christmas time. And I got clean on the couch there. And I haven't used again since. Not try to get into rehab, but I committed welfare fraud earlier that year. So there was, like, no funding that I could use. And I'd finally reached that state of desperation that I'd been looking for all along. I remember joking with my sponsor at the time, like, I got clean. This is, like, after I, like, got off sick or whatever. Like, I pretty much got clean with a first step, a garbage can, and a washcloth. And I remember going to five meetings on Christmas Day. You know, my family didn't want me around, and there was, like, one other guy that, like, didn't go home, and me and him went to, like, five meetings on Christmas Day. And it just grew from there, man. You know, for the first time, I had a sponsor and a home group at the same time. You know, like, I would have, like, one but not the other all the time, and I actually had a sponsor and a home group. Like, I actually picked up a fucking cup, put up chairs, you know, stuff like that. And that's just where it started for me. But I remember, like, when I came back from that relapse and thinking, like, nobody wanted to hear what I had to say in the meeting. Because all I know how to do is get high. And thinking that everybody was talking about me behind my back. And looking at all my friends that I got clean with pick up key tags. You know? And being real pissed off at them because they're getting it and I'm not. And not being able to sleep on top of all that, too. So now I'm at home laying in bed thinking about it even more, you know? You know, my sponsor even says, like, relapse has some craziness attached to it. And it really does. And it's not a requirement, but it does happen. It is a reality. I also know that, like, when we say don't take the first one, we're not just talking about drugs. You know, and it's been my experience that, like, I can have those exact same feelings due to defects or due to, like, repeating the same mistakes expecting different results. And it's funny that I get this topic because this is pretty much where I'm at right now in my recovery. And I feel that, like, I'm always at a fork in the road. Multiple times a day, I can either go recovery or relapse. And I was reading this chapter in the parking lot before I came in because I was kind of early. And just, like, every single sentence relates to me. Like, deep. Relation to, like, it's like poetry to me. And it's a paragraph that always sticks out. It's like, relationships are a terribly painful area. And I am not a good friend. I'm terrible in relationships. I'm really not a good family member. I don't show up a lot. And when I do, I talk about myself. I'm just not good at, like, the relations with other people, you know? I'm a crack smoker. I'm an isolator. I'm a hiding in the bathroom type person, basements, alleys. Like, I'm not good at, like, social situations. Like, I don't like going to the grocery store and being in public. I excel at work. Last year, I got engaged to a girl. She's not in the rooms. And, you know, I'd, like, moved. We bought a house. I moved out her way, away from, like, you know, my we and the people that held me accountable. And I had a home group. I showed up every week. I greeted at the door, and that was about it for almost a year, 10 months, you know. And like, things just got bad quick. Like, I went into this relationship thinking, like, it was an investment of property, you know. You got good credit, and I got cash. We can make this work. And I ended up choking her on the living room floor probably 9 months later. And the feelings that came with that felt exactly like that day when I was in the bathroom looking in the mirror when I was driving down the highway and I looked in the rearview mirror at myself. You know, and I seen my dad. I pretty much changed everything after that. Changed sponsors. I changed every single person that I hang out with. You know, I went from like 100 yes men to like 5 dudes that like hold me accountable every day. And 1 woman. And like when that happened, like all this shit started coming back up. You know, like the overspending. Lust, like all the things that like I've been fighting before her, like all came right back, you know. And when I was reading that in there, like somebody had said, like you read something and it doesn't hit you the same as when you read it the next time. And like, you know, there's a paragraph that talks about, you know, we're shaking badly, and at this time it's going to be worse. And it wasn't even with the drugs. Like I was shaking badly, and it was worse. Like all my defects were like insane. And, you know, and I would do things like use money, property, and prestige to, like, prey on a newcomer. To, like, take their fractured personality and manipulate it so I could get in their pants. So I could feel good for maybe 10 minutes, you know, and, or buying a bunch of stupid shit like rims instead of health insurance. I've been saying I'm a lot, fuck. And, wondering why I go home at night and I can't sleep again. And I'm laying in bed till like 4 in the morning watching Law and Order that I've seen every episode of and I know every single word, every single night, you know. I had to switch it up to Criminal Minds because it was getting so bad. And I can't even concentrate on what's going on in the show anyway, you know. At least with Law and Order, like I knew the outcome. I didn't really have to pay attention. But, so what needed to happen was like the same thing needed to happen whenever I was getting clean on that couch. It's like I just had to like completely change everything again. I mean, that's really what I did. Like, you know, home group, area, sponsor. And it's none of this stuff's their fault. It's just I needed some guys around me that knew what the fuck was going on and it had been where I've been so I can get where they are. And nothing hurts worse than when you ask somebody to hold you accountable. And then you got to tell them you fucked up again. And I think that's like the biggest I've just circled back to the steps, and I'm on the second step again, and I think that's like the biggest part of my second step right now is accountability. Like, that is like the biggest thing that I'm practicing with that step. Then I start to get really close to this new family that I'm with, and now I got like 2, 3, 4 guys and one girl. There's always just the one girl, Carla. They're holding me accountable, you know what I mean? And things are starting to get better again. You know, it's maybe only 1 or 2 episodes at night instead of like the whole marathon. Started to get like involved in service again and like really get back into the program and trying to get at least 4 meetings a week, you know? I really don't want to use anymore. And these things that I do are going to back me into a corner that I can't get out of clean. And I really don't want that to... I don't want my mom to cry at night. Whenever I made amends to my mom, she told me that she used to lay in bed at night with her face in the mattress and pray that I either wouldn't end up in jail or dead. And I drained everything from this woman. She was my biggest enabler. We're talking like mortgages on houses for lawyers. A couple months ago, she's retired now. And we got this condo in Myrtle Beach that we just got. She called me and said thank you, and she's living her dream. Like, why would I want to go and use when people say things like that to me? You know, she used to like throw money at my feet. Be like, get the fuck out of here. It's just crazy. I don't ever want to use again. I don't. I really don't. Look how many people are in this room right now. It's got to be for me or one before that said it. You know what I mean? I walked in here and I'm like, this thing works. I'm out in the middle of the fucking mountains. I don't even know. I'd use GPS to get here. I have no clue where I am. And there's a room full of people trying to get a day clean. And as much as I like to try to be alone and isolate myself in the second floor of my house with all the blinds drawn in the middle of the day, you know, once I make it here, I know everything's going to be okay. That's all I think.